Welcome to Fried Pickle Talk, and I'm your host, The Pickleball Texan. That's right. Thank you for going on this journey with me. I'm very excited to start this. Remember, this podcast is all things pickleball. It's mostly fun, lighthearted stuff, unless things are coming out of the rule books. That's the only thing that's factual in here. Everything is just an opinion of mine. So remember, it is not the law. It's just how I see things. So let's just have fun with it, all right? We will be sponsored for this podcast from several people. One of them is myself. So here we go with all our sponsors to start this. Get ready for an epic pickleball experience, whether it's a birthday, a celebration, family get-together, or a work event. The Pickleball Texan is your go-to for that smashing success. I'm a PPR certified instructor, and I have a big stash of demo paddles for you and your guests to use, so no need to bring them on your own. So let's create an unforgettable experience for you and your guests together. I'll bring the equipment and the fun, and we can make this a smashing success for your next pickleball event. Just contact pickleballtexan01 at gmail.com. That's right, the contact is pickleballtexan01 at gmail.com. Don't delay. Send it out today so that I can come out there and be at your next experience, a pickleball event. Here we go. Yes, I'm weird. Sorry about that. Next sponsor is Redeemed. The Redeemed paddle, the Genesis. This is an awesome paddle, T700 raw carbon fiber with some awesome, if you can hear that, texture on that surface there. 16 millimeter honeycomb core. It's got that edge guard to it and a slightly longer than normal handle. So it's not your regular standard handle. It's a little bit longer than that, so you can still kind of get that two-handed back in there. So it's not a true elongated, but it is longer than most paddles. This, to me, has a little bit weight more in the top, and it is a heavier paddle than most. But I like it because it gives more control and you can get that spin to really start happening. So go onto your Redeemed website, use Pickleball Texan 10. That's right, Pickleball Texan 10, and you will get $10 off your Genesis paddle. Also sponsored by Aestus. Aestus is your one-stop shop for all things pickleball. So whether you need a sweatband, Aestus has you covered. You need protection glasses, Aestus has you covered. You want an awesome high grit pickleball paddle with all the fixings in it, Aestus has you covered. Go on to Aestus website now. Choose your paddle, choose your accessories for your next pickleball event. You won't be disappointed. I'm going out today and playing with all the gear today. That's Aestus Pickleball. Use Joshua10 for 10% off. That is Joshua10 on your next order for 10% off. All right, so now we're back. Now that I'm done being goofy and kind of messing up the spots, I promise you guys I'll get better at this. Let me introduce myself. I am Joshua Suarez, the Pickleball Texan. This will be my podcast. Sorry, I'm moving my feet around. You can kind of hear me hitting things. So again, I'm new to the podcasting world. I'm trying to do my best here. I promise y'all it'll get better as we go along. Eventually, I'm sure I'll lose the headphones and everything like that. My experience in pickleball, I've just over a year. I'm a PPR certified instructor, so I worked really hard and trained really hard so that I could get my skill level up more so that I could go get that experience and be able to teach beginners. I'm mainly a beginner coach or beginner / intermediate drill, you know, if you want to drill. But my main experience, what I was able to translate over, is I've been 20 years as basically a coach in the marching band, the marching arts, as a color guard instructor, or as the marching band choreographer, or the marching band, marching technique and things like that. I was able to help with things like that. So I am in my backyard, so if you hear surrounding dogs barking and children yelling, that's because I have started in my backyard. I don't have a room yet to do these podcasts, and so pardon the noise that happens out here. I can't control any of that, so hopefully it won't be too bad. That's why I bought the mic that hopefully drowns some of the sound. So that 20 years experience, that's really what has I have relied on to push myself forward in order to get where I am with teaching pickleball, there's a lot of things to translate. In my experience of teaching, I have to look at the student, I have to analyze what they're doing, and then I have to help them manipulate their body in such a way to be successful or to manipulate the equipment successfully so that we can get the desired outcome from them. And I believe that translates a lot into pickleball, especially as an instructor, because though at first in the beginner classes, yes, you're just teaching the basic motions, the basic, like, these are the rules, this is the out, this is the non-volley zone, transition, baseline, all that stuff. At the same time, as they progress, I can use those skills and that knowledge to help, okay, this is how they're approaching the shot, and this is maybe something they could do a little bit differently, so that it makes that shot more successful, or that it gives them a better feel to, if they do the shot this way, or if they position themselves this way, they'll be more successful with what they're trying to do. So I believe that background of mine has really helped push me forward into the pickleball teaching realm. I do play as well. I'm not an amazing player. I'm not going pro ever. My goal is to hopefully, by my mid-40s, and I am not 40 yet, but I'm almost there, but by my mid-40s to be in that 5-0 category. I don't expect to ever be that top 1% echelon of elite players in the PPA. I would love to, if my body and my skill set progresses me there and I can still hang with all those young kids at 45 and stuff like that. I would love to do that, but I doubt that's really going to happen. So I'm a realist about my abilities. I think I'm a decent pickleball player. I think I can hold my own in most matches, even with the slightly advanced 4-0s and stuff like that. But that's neither here nor there. I'm not great. I'm going to get killed by 4-0s. Don't worry about it. I know that. But I am slowly progressing and able to understand the strategy and how to create my shots. And I work on that. So one of the things I approach is, which I think is differently than most, is, you know, a lot of people drill or drill with the ball machine. I see a lot of influencers out there with ball machines and able, or have a partner that they can drill with. I am not that fortunate because this is not my full-time job, is not creating content and not playing pickleball. I wish I can make enough money to just quit my job and do that. But I am a city worker. I'm trying to get that pension. And I still choreograph and teach in the marching arts. And on top of that, I am trying to do the pickleball thing. And I have, at this moment, almost a 9-month-old son. So I have a lot going on. So it's not one of those things that I can just dedicate everything to. So I have to try to get creative personally to progress my skills. And one of those things is I use rec play, and this is something that we'll get into as how we use rec play compared to league or what I call club play, and then that compared to tournaments, stuff like that, and how I feel we should approach it. Some people, look, I'm not trying to be rude to anybody, but some people take this activity a little too seriously. It is supposed to be fun. I kind of view it the same way, whether you're a basketball player, a football player. I understand you have to concentrate and stuff like that, but maybe that's a little bit too much. If I believe that somebody's true duper, and again, this is my opinion, it's not fact. I believe someone's true duper is how they play when they're relaxed and having fun, and they're not having to sit there, concentrate, and zero in. Now, again, that's what makes some of the great players the best, right? Because they concentrate in and they can create shots beyond belief. But I believe that outside of that 1%, the rest 99% of us, I think, are true dupers, and our true, like, being is us having fun. And that's where we should be, and that's what we should really focus on, as in a relaxed game of pickleball instead of. And now, can relaxed games get intense? Yes, but if I'm sitting there in a firefight, it's exciting. We are intense, but at the end of it, I'm going to smile and be like, "That was an awesome point." I'm not going to go back if I lost it or won it or whatever and be whatever. right? If I want it, yes, I'm probably going to give a yah and then go back and be like, man, that was an awesome firefight, guys. We did, that was great back and forth. You know, I'm not going to sit there. And if I lose it, I'm going to be like, that was really great. Let's do that again. And hopefully I can get you this time. That's the way I look at it. I think that's how we should approach the game. I think that's how you also grow the game. So going back to my original statement of using rec, I use rec as my training ground because in rec centers, you get such a wide variety of players. Now, there are times where I do kind of get a little more serious and I hold my paddle back and paddle stacking and try to play with more advanced players. I think that's everybody's right. I wish people wouldn't get so upset about that. Like, oh, you moved your paddle. Well, yes, because it's my choice to play with more intense players if I want to. So I will move my paddle in order to achieve that, right? So that's how I feel about that whole situation. I think in general, a lot of people, or some people, that's not a lot. Let's say some people just take the game too seriously, even in our leagues, and they're trying to be, oh, I'm trying to get better. I don't know all the way to do it, smash and go. No, it's okay, dude. Like, it's okay. You're not Ben Johns. And if you can't get up there without, you know, giving a 1,000% in order to get to the next level, then you're not ready to be in the next level. I want to be a relaxed 4.0. I want to be a relaxed 4.5. I want to be a relaxed 5.0 when I get there. I don't want to sit there and be like totally tensed up in my game. I want to be relaxed and know that when I make a shot or when I do a move or when I'm thinking of a strategy, that it's going to either produce me points or put me in a position that I can produce points. I don't want to have to sit there and rack my brain all of it. I got into this activity because I'm already working another job and have all this other stress. I don't need pickleball to be my stress. And that's what I think, or I hope a lot of people think about pickleball is it's not supposed to be stressful. It's supposed to be fun. I'm going to just angle this down just a little bit there. All right. So sorry about that. So, And that's how I feel about it. I've played in recs where people have taken some of those games too seriously. And I just, you know, I will happily lose a game to somebody taking it too seriously. I will happily lose a game to even a newcomer that just got several new shots on and I couldn't hit anything. It's not that serious. It's really not that serious. The fact that people make it that serious, I think, is silly. So in rec play, I mainly use it as my training ground. It's where I do my drop shots. When I'm working on drives, I'm working on top spin, I'm working on slice, forehand, backhand slice, whatever it is. I'm working on court positioning. Even if my partner is new or something, I work on, okay, this is how far I can position myself if my partner doesn't move up and things like that. So I use that as a training ground for myself. And I happily play with lesser players or beginner players or new players or players who are just coming up, no matter what their stature is. I don't mind playing with them, but I do reserve the right, and I think everyone has the right to reserve to put their paddle back and be like, hey, it's been fun playing with you. I've worked on this. We've had some fun. I'm going to go play with, you know, Jeff, Fred, and Jeremy over here because we're a little bit more in that same realm, and I need to practice a little bit harder because I have this coming up or that coming up, or I'm trying to work on this skill set, and I want to know if I'm missing this skill set, they're going to smash me. Because a lot of times, you know, newer players, if you're working on a drop shot and you get a little high, they're not smashing it at you. You know, they're either tapping it or they're letting it bounce and they're giving you time to reset. So that's why I think it is good. And now I did get in an argument online, with people that were talking about, well, you know, in the league play, they wanted league play to be deeper, which I thought was ridiculous because that was every week. It was a randomized round robin, so no fixed partners. It randomized round robin league play. Now, some people may like that. I just don't. I didn't join the club to go make my duper go up and down and stuff like that. To me personally, if you want your duper to go up and down, then guess what? Go play tournaments. That's the go to fixed tournaments or go to rated round robins and stuff like that. Find those matches. Stop putting it in your league or putting it on your league or your club to do those things for you. Go out there and do it for yourself. Because, you know, when it all comes down to it, it's up to you to where you're going to be and how you're going to get there. And one day it's like, well, some people go out there and they drill and they pay for lessons and they do this and that. And I was like, that's fantastic. If you do all that, then go compete. Take all that training and go compete. Don't rely on your club league to get your duper to where you want to be. Because that might not be a good indication of whether you're up there or not. So, I think a league, like holding your paddle back and that wreck thing, I think a league is for you to try those things you've been working on to see if you're going to get punished by people of equal or in the same realm of experience as you. Now, some of those people were arguing, well, not all these people are in the same realm of experience. Well, I'm sorry. That just happens. And you know what? They're not going to ever get any better if we don't keep playing with them, right? But that's me. I don't think of it as a competitive, I'm trying to get to the top mentality. I think of it as I want everybody to be involved in this activity mentality, as a coach mentality. If I can help somebody, they might not want my help, and then I will not give it to them. That's fine. But if they do want my help, let's make them better. So that makes our competition, there's mosquitoes around here, that makes our competition better if I help improve their competition instead of knock on them for not being as good to me as I am. So I think, again, league play should be one of those things where you're taking this skill set and you're trying it out and seeing if you're going to get punished or not. And again, there's no way that it's going to be perfect. Again, I think if you continually do a duper every week with all these randomized people, it's not helping you, because I get one game with this person. Oh, well, you've had 4 weeks with them. Yeah, okay. It's still not good. I don't drill with them. Even with my partner, I drill with my partner not even enough. And we have problems galore. And then we start playing together more, and then all of a sudden those problems go away because we're used to each other, right? So I'm sitting there saying that, oh yeah, that's going to work. Just all you have to do is not... Sorry, I'm moving this cord out of the way. All you have to do is just, you know, get used to playing like that. Or these are the specific ways of playing the game, and if you always played like that... I abide by that rule that, yes, I mean, yeah, if it crisscross or how you're receiving the ball and stuff like that, but that doesn't mean everybody's on that same page, and that does not mean that everybody. And also, there might be people who have no idea what those rules are, and you could play with them, and you and that person will smash everybody. Again, you can't say that if you do these specific things always, this is always going to work. And I don't abide by that. And I think that's one of the biggest problems with some people is, again, they take it too seriously. So me, league play is just one of those things. Again, I think it's another training ground. I think if we look at league as another training ground, maybe more advanced training ground in your club levels, the people would be a little bit more understanding and wanting to do these leagues. Because if you're sitting there and trying to help each other out, and again, it's a competitive help. It's not like, oh, I'm going to let you win or anything. It's a competitive help because we're on the same player. We're on the same plane, and we're trying to figure this out. And then you get to like the local tournament level. Now, I do think a lot of people take the local tournaments way, way too seriously. You're not winning any money. You're not getting nationally rated. You're not getting a sponsor off of it. Okay. It is bragging right, local bragging rights or something to put on your resume that, ooh, I've got this now, right? And now, if you're going to go to the APP and you're competing or the PPA or the MLP, any of those professional levels, okay, that's something different. But we're talking about local levels. Some of them, yes, well, you can, they are true events and tournaments, but it is not that big of a deal. We have to realize you're not winning money. Most of these local tournaments, you're not winning money unless you're getting on that national stage, right? So why? I mean, again, Yes, competitive. I'm all for it. I'm all to be competitive. But what happened to the whole let's have fun about things, right? What happened to like, hey, yes, let's be competitive and fun. And what I mean by that is strategy. The strategy is another thing. One strategy irks me so bad, and we'll get to that in just a second. But, you know, even on the local tournament level, there's people who are smashing the ball as hard as they possibly can at somebody. Why? Why would you or line driving it as high? I got hit twice in a tournament the other day, and luckily my wrist took the brunt of it, but had my wrist not been there, I'd had like a welt on the side of my neck. I was trying to get out of the way of the ball so it would go up because it was 100% going out. But because I'm not super fast, but I'm pretty fast for the pickleball world. Even at my age, I'm pretty fast for the pickleball world, and I could not get out of the way of that ball, of either one of those balls. And I just think that is uncalled for in that activity on this level. You don't need to kill somebody with the ball. All right, I feel like that's kind of like an amateur thing. You don't know how to control how you, then you shouldn't do that shot. Okay, it's the same thing with any sport. If you can't control how you're trying to manipulate something, then you shouldn't do that activity, right? I believe, but people do it. People are out there. My sister got hit in the face at one of the tournaments. She's my partner. My sister is my partner, and she got hit in the face at a tournament because a guy just line-drived it at her face. Now, again, when I understand high balls, green balls is fair game and all, but why can't we just be courteous enough to hit towards people's feet or body? I mean, down instead of at the face or line driving it at someone's face. I think there's no need for that, and that's an amateur mistake. And if you can't control it, I think you shouldn't be doing it, or you need to really be practicing that instead of relying on just smashing the ball at people as hard as you can. I think that's rude. Okay. Now, the professionals and the higher skill players that do that, they do it and it comes at the body. They're not trying to hit anybody in the face. They're body bagging people actually in the body, not at the face. And I think that people should really work on their skills or work on their abilities to control the ball, right? And before you go out there and compete, or just don't do that drive. And I understand why they're doing it. They're going to lose if they don't, right? So that's part of their strategy. If I just hit them at it as hard as possible, they're not going to be able to move out of the way. They either have to block it or get hit by it. Either way, they get the point, right? Well, they get the point if they're MLP, but, you know, or side out, whatever it is in that situation. I just don't subscribe to it. Maybe I'm jealous. I could be, because I cannot drive the ball like that. I can drive the ball a little bit, but nothing like some of these other people coming over tennis or who have been playing pickleball for a while can really just hit it at you 60 miles per hour and stuff like that. I can't do that. And so maybe part of that's just my jealousy. It could be. I don't know. Maybe it's subconscious jealousy that I wish I could hit it 60 miles an hour. I can't do that. But if I could, I would want to do it controlled, so that it wouldn't hurt anybody. Just like my smash. Just when I smash on somebody, I'm going down at their feet. That's what I'm aiming. So if they back up, I'm trying to hit it at their feet as far back as they go, or I'm hitting it at the baseline. That's what I do. That is how I do it. Now, the higher skilled level players, are they going to be able to return that? Exactly. Yes, they will. But you know what? On the lower level, at least I'm avoiding trying to hit somebody in the face or not having control of where the trajectory of my ball is going. So I think that's very important, is to, even on a lower level, to not do things that are outside of what you can't do. You can't drive the ball super hard. Don't do it until you have the control to do it. That's why we practice. I couldn't drop the ball for a long time. I'm still not that great at dropping the ball, but I do it now, and I do it much better. But as I kept testing it out in the rec play and dropping over and over and over again until I got it. And I didn't really drop it in tournaments a lot until I was able to. I kind of did like a hybrid drive, but I would get my partner killed by it. It was terrible. I'm still, terrible in some ways. I get my partner killed. I'm sorry, partner out there, my sister. And so I don't mean to, but, I'm just trying to figure it out. You know, and now I can drop it. So a lot of times, hopefully, it's not hanging up there for them to just smash out of the air. It drops. Excuse me. And I can, and we can get up to the net and things like that. So I just, if you don't have the skill, why would you use it? Especially with something that could hurt somebody in the activity. I have little eyes, you know, that's why I got those glasses from Aestis. All right. I would never drive hard at somebody knowing that I don't have the control to keep it out of their face and stuff like that. And yes, as on the higher levels, it's a lot different because if you're getting into the 4-0s, 4-5s, 5-0s, your reaction time, your understanding of how people and how people's bodies are positioned, you know what they're about to do. So you can make that quicker reaction. On the, I'm talking about on the high 3s, 3-7, like the 3-7-5 below area. I wish we would just kind of chill out a little bit with it. As you can hear, the kids yelling agree with me apparently. So, just kidding. I don't know. They're just over there yelling, having fun. So this is great. So going back to my last thing, I want to talk about is about just strategy. One of the strategies that annoys me, even on the tournament level, is the picking on the one player. Even though I know it's a sound strategy, but I do have a bone to pick with people who think you should do it like on the league level or on the rec level, who are using that strategy to win games that don't matter, that don't mess with your duper and stuff like that. So look, here's my caveat. I don't like it. I would rather play against the hardest player or the best player on the other team and go back and forth and lose, because that's going to make me better, because then I know what I need to work on, than to sit there and pick on the weakest player. Now, have I done that strategy? Yes. And have I won off that strategy? Yes. Okay. It doesn't mean I liked it. Okay. But I also did it to save my partner, because if I mess up trying to go, sorry, yelling at you, if I mess up trying to go back and forth with the advanced player and then I hang my partner out to dry, that's not so nice. So, but I don't subscribe to it, especially on the league level and on the rec level. And here's why. And then there's 0%. On the tournament level, I understand it and I utilize it. So I'm not going to lie. Like, it's not like, oh, I don't do that. No, I do that. So I understand on the tournament level, it is a good strategy. It is a good way to help you win. It irritates the other team. You kind of get people thrown off. They can do it back to you. So you're hoping that your partner can hang in there too, or you, because you may be the person. I might be the person. I am the person in men's. I tell you that all the time. I'm always that person they're trying to pick on. So, and I like that. That's different. I like that because it's a challenge. Because to me, I'm like, oh, okay, this is what I got to work on. Oh, this is what I got right now. Okay, cool. But I don't, especially don't subscribe to it on the league level or on a non-duper rated event level, rec and stuff. And I heard a podcast once that was like, oh no, like you should always do that. And I was like, whoa, because they just got done saying like the only way to get better was to play against better players. So I was like, the only way to get better is to play against better players. But when you're playing, you pick on the weaker player so that you always win. Makes no sense to me. Makes zero sense. What makes sense to me, especially in rec play, and this is what I do too, is in rec play, I'm playing against those, or I'm hitting it towards that player that is better. I'm trying not to. Now, I will, if it's a soft dink or something, I can get the other player involved in, because again, in rec play, I do believe everyone should be involved in rec play. I want to involve all parties. We're supposed to be sitting here having fun. So I believe we should all be involved in rec play. But I will not pick on that player because I want to get better. I need to get better. And the only way to get better, I believe, is to hit it to the stronger player. And the same thing in your league. So these people are like, yeah, in leagues, we're going to target the one guy. Hey, our strategy. No, man. I would rather lose spreading the ball around to everybody and learning what my weakness is, or playing towards the stronger playing to learn what my weakness is, so that I can either practice that weakness or turn that weakness into a strength, or prove that it's no longer a weakness. Right, to make myself better. And I think leagues like that too. And I also think I wish that lower end tournaments, now the higher end tournaments, bunch of players, maybe money involved and stuff like that, maybe different, but maybe the lower end tournaments, I wish we had that still that same mentality of, hey, let's all get involved so that we are all competitive, we are all serious about this, but we can all learn something from it too, instead of just picking on the weak player. Because then again, what have we learned? All we've learned is we can win against the weaker player or a player that is weaker than us, right? We haven't made any other philosophical ideas out of that, or not assumptions, but realities. All we've come to realize is that, oh yeah, I can beat someone who's less than me. Yes, yes, you can. So as we go out there, as you have fun, really, I advise incorporate the fun to everybody. And if you're playing against lesser players, beginner players and stuff like that, and you're not holding your paddle back and things, then go out there and work on your shots. Go out there and have fun doing it. And don't be afraid to make mistakes in those situations. As you get to the league levels and stuff like that, you'll kind of feel like, oh, when I make the mistake, I'm going to get done. And don't pick on the weak. I personally don't think you should pick on the weaker player. Challenge yourself to go out there and face the tough player and find out what you really need to work on. That's what I do. I do that all the time. And they're like, well, you're still hitting to him. It's like, oh, yeah, I'm hitting to him. Because guess what? I found out that when they do this and I block, I'm blocking too high. And then I popped it up and then you got smashed, right? You know, what am I doing with my paddle? What am I doing? What do I got to focus on? What do we got to do things? I use that focus instead of in my leagues or competitive state. I use that focus when I'm drilling and stuff like that. So yes, I guess in my rec sometimes I'm serious face, but at the end of that play, I'm happy again because I'm like, hey, yeah, because I'm working on something, right? And then when I'm really in the competitive mode, when I hold my paddle back with those competitive people or in that league, I stay in that constant state of, ooh, like I'm chill now. Like I'm going to stay chill because I didn't lose any money. I get to keep my car. I get to go home to my family. We're all good. So that's a gist. And that topic will be a recurring topic on this podcast, coming back to like, how should we approach rec, league/ club play, as opposed to duper rated events, as opposed to a tournament and things like that. And I hope we can get into some other things, like, you know, who would you want as your doubles partner? Who are your top five men's, women's doubles partners that you would go with? Or who would want to be on the podcast? Or what's the new rule? I'll talk about paddles and where they've come, where they're going and where they've come from and things like that. So I hope all of y'all come back. Thank you for joining me. I am the Pickleball Texan. This is Fried Pickle Talk. And remember, have fun out there.